What would be your prescription for reducing gun violence in Rhode Island?
The prescription for us would be a triple measure. One is the dream of our founder that we teach nonviolence in schools. In that, probably we agree with the leadership of the NRA. A lot of violence is culture and behavior, which sadly they contribute to. So we believe in teaching nonviolence maybe 4 times throughout the 12 years. The second is really the recipe of what the Institute built based on the Boston ceasefire model, which is having former gang members who know who is causing violence, who know how to intervene, who mentor and intervene in conflict, working with law enforcement, working with hospitals and schools to intervene with the 0.3% of the population in a city who cause 70% of violence. So we have done that. We have done our part on reducing gang violence. It's last year, 3 out of 17 homicides was gang-related, one of the lowest in the country. So we have done our part. And now we want the other side to do what law enforcement, not Tony Gross, not Dingsville, what law enforcement, what Steve O'Donnell, Chief Clements, Commissioner Perry, and others is asking, give law enforcement the tools to go after people who are playing wrongly with guns.
Some people on the other side of this issue from you question whether any of these proposals would help to prevent the kind of school shooting that happened last year in Newtown, Connecticut, or to otherwise reduce gun violence. What do you say?
Well, there are really 3 kinds of shootings. You got those sort of spree shooting, which is what Columbine was, Newtown, Aurora, and they're very particular, mental health. It's a complex issue. We know that the guy in Virginia Tech, there were some mental issues. Again, schools didn't deal with it. It happened, a guy can get guns. That is a problem. There is the other sort of shootings around domestic violence, those sort of killings between relationships. That's a different category. There's no doubt having a gun at home is like having a bomb at home. It absolutely increases the danger to women, children. The death is about 31,000 people killed in America every year from guns. That includes 3 categories, homicide, suicide, and accidental. And that's something we need to address. We need to see who is there. Are there locks on them? At the moment, no one is talking about locks, etc.
You mean locks on storing guns in a secure way in people's homes?
Right. It's almost like I'm required to make sure my brakes are working or I don't get an inspection. There's certain procedures to my car to be safe. And yet on guns, when there was a gun leader of one of the gun manufacturers was actually fired by the pressure of other gun leaders and the NRA because he said, oh, yeah, we can easily manufacture safe guns, much safer guns. So we need to expose really the lies of the leadership of the NRA. Most gun owners support very reasonable measures. Not everything is going to pass, not in Washington and not in Rhode Island, and that is fine. But we need to start getting towards the middle.
How do you respond to the argument from the other side of the gun debate that increased or more stringent gun laws mostly affect responsible gun owners, that criminals don't pay attention to gun laws? How do you respond to that argument?
It's an empty argument. Do I not have a car because there's restriction? I have to pay taxes, I have to register my car, I have insurance on my car, I have a sticker on my car. There's 5 or 6 different things. And people drive cars. It's a tool. They need it. Doctors, they have malpractice insurance. Do people stop practicing medicine? No. Everything in society is a compromise. You need to regulate. This is a deadly weapon. They say it's a deadly weapon because, in fact, the NRA leadership says we need the gun so we can shoot a bad guy and kill them. Well, let's acknowledge there's a risk in that. Let's acknowledge kids get killed accidentally. Let's acknowledge a husband goes home drunk and ends up, because there's a gun at home, shooting his wife to death. Let's acknowledge the risk of guns. It's actually idiotic for a former sergeant of the Israeli army not to acknowledge that there's a risk in having a gun at home and everyone else. And let's work in good faith. To me, the NRA should have been the first in line to support a database, to support law enforcement closing loopholes, because they really always saying we want to make sure only the good guys have guns. They should be ahead of the Institute, supporting law enforcement and making sure only, quote-unquote, their quote, the good guys have the guns and not the bad guys. So they should be hand-in-hand lockstep with law enforcement. Finally, they're always quoting Israel. They're saying my country has security guards in schools, etc. Guess what? Israel sadly has a real enemy. It's called the Palestinians, right? We have a real conflict. The NRA, as far as I know, it's the first democracy on the planet that is actually saying you should arm yourself against your own citizens. That is actually outlandish. I'm surprised there's not more outrage about that.
Your institute, due to budget cuts, had to lay off a number of workers. Actually, on the day that the school shooting took place last December in Newtown, Connecticut, how has that affected your institute's ability to pursue its mission of reducing violence?
Not only that, the people who are working now at the institute, everyone, we're all on 32 hours a week. We're not on full time. We had to cut 20% of everyone's salary. What does it do? For example, on Wednesday, most of the street workers are off. That's not good. It takes us longer to respond to some crisis. Mediation, and as you saw the story in the Providence Journal this Sunday on Jose Rodriguez, one of our street workers, a former drug dealer, former person who carried illegal guns, changing is very difficult. It's a slow process. It's a fragile process. You need resources. That's one life that was on the cover of the story of the Sunday Journal. Imagine we try to do it with a lot of offenders. So I am concerned. I'm concerned about this summer. I'm concerned about where priorities are. Again, if the NRA really believed in change in behavior and culture matters and not gun, they should have been donating to the institute. I mean, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but if we actually do what they say is the problem, they're saying the problem is culture and culture violence, on that kind of we agree as well. Well, put the resources there. It's not happening, and it is putting people at risk. We have a lot of experience in changing people's lives and making them safer. And at the moment, there's less of us.
Tenny Gross, head of the Institute for the Study and Practice of Nonviolence, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thanks for being interested in the subject.